We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses, people that were once in your shoes. Our TSBC alumni, speakers, and friends will shed light on growth strategies, resources, and inspiration to help you scale your creative business. Hey friends, I'm Katie Hunt, the founder of Trade Show Bootcamp, and welcome to Proof to Product. This week is a special one in that we're bringing you a series of episodes that closely mirror what we teach during our signature program, Paper Camp. We have cut together some of our favorite episodes featuring our Trade Show Bootcamp alumni and speakers, and we're talking about things like product development, sales strategies for wholesale, and exhibiting at wholesale trade shows. I hope these compilation episodes inspire you to push forward in your business. And if you need a helping hand, we invite you to join us for the Paper Camp e-course, which starts next week. It is a four-week course featuring live group coaching calls with me and some of my favorite guest experts, including Kristen Lay of Thimble Press, Karina Murray of Crow & Canary, Rachel Hetzel of Pistachio Press, and Heather Haney of Rock, Paper, Scissors. So for more information, head over to tradeshowcamp.com/PCE. That's PCE for Paper Camp eCourse. And join us. Registration closes on Friday. Now on to the show.
I would say that this is such a hokey answer, but like the internet is so valuable. I know there are a lot of pros and cons to things like social media, but I will say that Instagram in particular has made it so that, you know, I can curate basically a feed of all of these different things that inspire me and like bookmark them and use those as jumping off points to like go, this is full dork mode, but like go to the library and like research things that obviously inspired other people, whether it be, you know, certain types of design or illustration, certain eras. Even moving to California was like really integral to me. Like you can see it in my work in terms of like the colors that I use and just like the whole aesthetic of Los Angeles is so all over the place and weird and fun and like plant-based. Like there were just all these things that I'd never seen before. I was in Minnesota before, so it's just like
it's a big change.
Gray wasteland. I mean, I love Minnesota. I'm just glad that I visit there now instead of living there.
So
I keep a notebook of a pretty much everything that I'm interested in or that I think of. And for me, I try and draw a little bit every day. And so I have that side of me where like I just have sketchbooks that have like a bunch of different cute illustration ideas or patterns that I like. And I curate that just from, you know, I'll go to, there's an art school near me that has a library that's open to the public. And I worked at my art school's library all 4 years. So I still go there and just like sit in there for a few hours and just like look through books and draw. And then I can kind of come back with those. And between that and then this running list that I have of like puns that I think are funny, I sort of try and marry those two things so that I end up with like solid designs.
It's like you have a list of printers that you know you can go to for different types of print,
right, the
print capacity. But when you're creating a brand new product like that, where it's not necessarily a trend yet, you also have that hurdle of finding manufacturers that can do a good job, can do it within your margins, can, you know, turn it around in the time you need. But so for you particularly, when you were going into the pins, let's say, just since we're on that right now, like, and you're unsure how it's going to sell, how do you determine how much to order? What volume to order?
I have a very scientific method that involves the amount of money that I know I have and that I'm willing to risk. I mean, it's like doing Vegas correctly. You know what I mean? Like you go in there and you're like, I'm willing to lose $100. So that's all I'm going to spend. That's how I felt. I had, I did have faith in the products that I created, but I knew that I could afford to basically gamble with a certain amount. And I set my margins based on assuming that they weren't going to do particularly well, that it was going to take a little while for them to get legs. And that's not because I wasn't confident in my products. That was because I knew that there weren't a lot of other things out there. And I know firsthand how long it takes for a trend to get like from the internet to like my boutique stores, even much less my bigger accounts.
Right.
So that process can take a really long time. And in the meantime, like you're sitting on all this product.
So you have also manufactured some of your products overseas. Can you talk about the pros and cons to that?
Yeah. My pins are manufactured overseas. And I initially, all the rest of my products are made in the U.S., and that's something that is important to me. But I also have been trying to be realistic about what my consumer wants and what I want. And I wanted to be able to make pins, and the market wasn't, I mean, mine are already on the expensive side of things. And I work with a company called Pinnacle Pins, and they are based in North Carolina. The guy I work with, Doug, works in North Carolina. They have like a whole stable of people that are paid in the US, which is wonderful. But then they have a factory that they've been working with in China for like 20 years. So Doug acts as my liaison between myself and the guy who owns the factory, which is nice because Doug speaks fluent Chinese. I do not speak fluent Chinese. Doug is willing to work super weird hours. I am not willing to work super weird hours.
Right.
So, and that means that the pricing is a little bit higher, but it's still something that I'm comfortable with.
What are some common mistakes that you see when your team is proofing planners for clients?
Yeah, we see so many, and we see them all the time. They're the same ones. Proofreading is interesting. So like I said, I have a team that I've been working with for about 7 years. And yeah, we see the same things all the time. Like Veterans Day, we'll see that spelled incorrectly all over the place. Like,
that's my birthday.
Is it really?
Yeah. I never had school on my birthday because it was always Veterans Day.
Oh, that's really nice. That's a bonus. Yeah.
It was fun as a kid. Anyhow, but, go on. Well, what else do you see?
You know how to spell it. Like, some people will put an apostrophe on either side of the S, and that's a no-no. We have Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Like, people will put a comma after junior.
Uh-huh.
It's tricky. Sometimes people drop it. Sometimes people keep it in. Some people drop junior altogether, but don't do that. That's his name. That's who he right. is. That's the day. So keep the junior in there, but there's no commas according to the Chicago Manual of Style, which is the guide that we use for our style of proofreading and nice. Editing. There is one thing I'm sure everybody noticed, that this year tax day fell on Tuesday the 18th. Which tax day is always confusing. So many people put it on the 15th regardless, and it's not always on the 15th. You know, if it falls on a weekend, it's the Monday after. But this year it was the Tuesday after, and we did proofread many, many planners that had it on the Monday, the 17th.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this weird little holiday called Emancipation Day, which is only celebrated in Washington, D.C. And it's Emancipation Day is a holiday in D.C. And so because that fell on Monday, the 17th, tax day.
That's why tax day was moved to the 18th.
That's why tax day was on the 18th.
Huh, it's like I didn't know that.
Yeah. So we know these weird things about holidays because we're in the business of making day planners and been doing it forever. So we actually wrote an ebook on called The Ultimate Holiday Guide. And this whole tax day explanation and many other explanations of common errors we find in day planners are in that ebook.
Cool. We'll have to link that in the show notes here so anyone that wants it can get it.
Yeah. So that's for sale on my website. You know, we just figured so many times, and even ourselves, every year, we Google our brains out to find out, you know, the days and whether or not they're right in the correct calendars. And don't Google, guys. Just go to copperbottomdesign.com, buy the ebook. I mean, don't waste your time. It's a pain in the butt.
And so then fast forward a couple of years, how did you know that you wanted to jump into wholesale and you wanted to move away from that custom work into more of like off-the-shelf products?
Yeah. I had sort of a come to Jesus moment with myself with client work, where I figured out that I couldn't take on any more clients with the time that I had in the week, just working too many hours. And I couldn't increase and grow my business enough to hire anybody with what I had to charge in order to continue to be getting the clients. Because with weddings, it's hard, especially letterpress. The materials are really expensive, and especially when you're doing custom, because I was doing completely custom work, it just takes a significant amount of time. And I can only split myself into so many ways. I can only work so many hours a day. So I was just kind of seeing like a dead end in sight for my business, where I didn't want to work that hard forever. for the little money I was making.
Well, and diversifying is, you know, adding a wholesale line, yes, it's a totally different strategy and it's a lot, it's different type of work than doing the custom mm-hmm. side of things. But having that secondary income stream really enables you to do a lot of other things in your business. So I'm sure that played a part in it too, not that, just time management.
It was huge.
But you've done a really good job of like expanding into unique categories and adding different types of products that are still complementary. So what's inspiring you when you create those products and how do you kind of – what's your process for developing those new items?
Yeah, that has been a goal for a long time is to try to forge new categories, especially since I opened the retail shop. I think that kind of comes hand in hand. That directly affects who I order from. Because I have found that if a line is just greeting cards, and you know I love greeting cards.
I do.
Love them so much. But if they're just greeting cards, it's harder for me to pull the trigger on placing an order with a new company. But if there's a company that has awesome greeting cards and then a couple mugs and some notepads and some cool pens and like if they have additional items, then I'm like, yes, like I can meet that minimum order for sure. I can bring those things in and it's giving me a lot of different things for my shop. So I feel like I have more bang for my buck on the shipping and also just some of those little things are harder to source and to find. So if I know a designer is awesome and they add other items, I know that the quality is going to be good, that the craftsmanship is going to be good, and that they're going to be something I want in my shop.
Yeah.
So that's something that I've thought about a lot as a buyer that now I'm like driven to want to add to my own line. And I also just, I don't know, there's just something that's exciting to me about adding other items, especially to a card. And I think that's what I'm most proud of with the patch cards is that it's still a card. It's still letterpress printed in-house. And then I get to work with another vendor to manufacture these rad patches. And those stick around.
Yeah.
And I think people keep cards. A percentage of people keep cards. I keep cards. I like to frame cards. I like to keep them around. But with a patch, like, that's a gift. People are keeping that and they're going to wear it and people are going to see it and it becomes a part of their life in a different way.
Totally.
So I geek out on those. I just absolutely love patches and I just started my own super rad 80s jean jacket
full of other patches. Yeah. That's fun.
Yeah. So I started out as a custom business. I was fortunate to secure a studio space in LA in a building. It was called the Unique Space, which was run by Unique USA. They run the Unique LA show, which is an artisan craft show. And the space they had opened had about 14 or 15 small businesses, small makers in it. There was bloggers, fashion, a guy who had a line of men's clothing, purses, all kinds of different makers. And so it was in retrospect, you know, kind of such a blessing to have found that space because it was such a supportive space. I made friends mm-hmm. with everyone. And from there, started just picking up different custom jobs, which were a lot of them were business cards, wedding invitations, stationery, art prints. So that's really where the business began, and I kind of thought of myself more as a printer than a designer when I started out. Mm-hmm. And once I kind of got the printing down, I found that the design work was also really fun for me. So from there, continued to grow the custom work before I attended Trade Show Boot Camp too.
Yeah. I was going to say, when you came to Paper Camp, you were really in a transitional time in your business. I remember you and I talking one-on-one and you were doing wedding work at the time, but you were really looking to grow the wholesale arm of your business. How has your business changed since then?
Yeah. So I came to Trade Show Boot Camp wondering if wholesale was for me. I didn't know if it was a fit for my talents and my interests. And I just found so much, the community there, the information there was so informative, and it really helped me make that decision. And so from there, I did decide to go ahead and launch a greeting card line. I think I started with 12 designs that I showed at Unique LA, and none of them had words. I knew I was not going to get into the greeting card business because I had cheeky phrases or, you know, funny things to say, but I really was interested in developing a design aesthetic. And so my first line of cards had no words. The response was okay, but I, you know, when I tried to sell them at trade shows, or I'm sorry, at Unique LA and some of the other craft shows, a couple people would say, well, what do I do with this one? Yeah, and I'd say anything you want. and then realized, well,
customers love having greeting cards.
Customers, and they do want a little bit of direction when they're buying a card. They want it to say what they want it to express, the sentiment they're going to be expressing. So, so that was excellent feedback. And I think that's something we learn in Trade Show Bootcamp, is testing the market first. So now my cards do all have sentiments, but it's funny, the very first 12 cards I ever designed still sell really, really well.
If your line is still sort of, I want to say all over the place, but that's not a bad thing. It's not as cohesive.
If you're still refining your line and making it more cohesive, yes.
Your stuff's all over the place. The aim is to so that the buyer knows what your stuff looks like. Right. So if you have some texty cards and then some watercolor cards and then some other typography and designy sort of looking things, you want to make sure they know what they're getting into. Because if they love one of your cards, but the rest of your line is all florals and they didn't realize it because they only looked at the one card, that's I think that's a big deal, because I know buyers have said, like, I thought this was this.
So that's a good point.
It's a little tricky.
No, that's a good point, because then you either need to just articulate that you've got these different things or send different samples so they can actually see it.
Yeah, there's plenty of lines that design by collection, and that can be, that can be done very well.
Yeah,
but buyers don't want to be like, huh, like confused by it. Like, I thought this was this. I mean, they, if buyers are looking at 100 different lines, like, it's hard to remember what each one is about.
Definitely. Hey guys, I have some exciting news. You have been patiently waiting for the return of our Paper Camp e-course, and I'm thrilled to tell you that the fall session is now open for enrollment. This is our 4-week program that includes a mix of do-it-yourself videos and live coaching calls with me and some pretty amazing guest experts. Week 1 is where we talk all about developing your product line and making sure that it's ready for the wholesale market. We'll review pricing, packaging, and make sure your products are in line with the industry standards. Week 2, we dive into wholesale sales tools. We'll tell you what you need to have ready prior to wholesaling and how to create things like your catalog and order forms. This is the week we also talk about working with sales reps and how to know if you're ready for that. Week 3 is a biggie. It's where we dive into exhibiting at wholesale trade shows. We talk about how it works, how much it costs, resources for building your booth, and how to get it all there. Now, this week has over 2.5 hours of videos tied to it, but we did break things down into bite-sized pieces so you can find what you need quickly and when you need it most. Week 4 is when we talk about marketing to retailers, how to best reach them, what to say, and how often to follow up so that you do not feel like a pest. Plus, this is the week that we are going to hear from a shop owner during our live coaching calls, so you'll be able to ask them all the questions you have that you've been wanting to ask. Now, this is not your ordinary course where you log in and you're left to do everything yourself. Here during the Paper Camp e-course, each week will build upon the next, and I'll be there answering your questions as we go in our Facebook group as well as in our live coaching calls. Now, classes start on October 8th, and this will be the very last time that Paper Camp is offered in 2018. So if you're doing any winter shows like New York Now, Las Vegas Market, or even the Stationery Show in February, you want to sign up for this program because we're not going to offer it again before those shows. Now, to register, head on over to tradeshowcamp.com and click on the Paper Camp eCourse banner. And if you have any questions or if you're wondering if this is the right program for you, feel free to email me at katie@tradeshowcamp.com. Improved to Product is brought to you by Trade Show Bootcamp and hosted by me, Katie Hunt. Since 2011, TSBC has worked with hundreds of product-based businesses to help them uplevel, scale, and build profitable, sustainable companies. You can find our show notes and additional resources at proof2product.com. And if you like what you heard today, please head over to Apple Podcasts to leave a 5-star review and subscribe. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next week with a new episode.